Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
The greatest invention of all was beer.
Once thought of as a down-to-earth drink, these days beer has gotten fancy. The small brewers making what's known as craft beer.
It's beer! Craft beer!
I'm now proud to call myself a beer nerd.
Beer. Sparkling. Golden. Pure.
Well, God created beer. That's why I'm sitting here. Sitting in a junction bar, I'm too drunk to drive my car.
We're at episode 12. This is the Louisville Beer Podcast. I'm your host, John M. Worth.
John King. M.
I don't Worth. Know. I'll just do that in. Be a little different, you know.
I hear you. What's going on?
Not much. Who are you?
Scott Likens.
You've got to do the intro.
Of what?
Of yourself.
Oh, I'm just Scott Likens. I'm here to hang
the
out.
The off-color commentator.
Oh, yeah, the off-color. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
And special guest in the studio tonight. Mr. Roger Baylor. Roger A. Baylor.
Go ahead, say it.
Three guesses to what the A stands for.
Neither one of them are mud.
Worth's been sitting at home working on material all weekend for this show, I believe.
Sorry, kid. Kids can't hang out. I got to write some one-liners.
Yeah. I can't clean my rubber suit up. I have to work on some show for them.
Got to come up with some more. Craft beer sweetheart, too, was he? What? One of the other ones I came
was
up
it?
With.
Yeah. Was it?
That's good, isn't it? I think that's fitting.
And this is why John and the other John are the comedians, because you obviously can't tell a joke to save your fucking life.
Really? Wow.
All right, let's get into
that's
it.
That's rough.
Yep.
All right, let's get into it.
You got some
it.
Events, big guy?
Yeah, let's talk about the Stillwater event on Friday. Let me pull that up real quick.
This Friday?
No, see, that's what I was trying to figure
out. It's December 6th.
I saw it
online. Okay. Today I won't be here. I'll be in.
I'm glad to see John's prepared. Are you referring to the Stillwater thing at Holy Grail or with Against the Grain?
Against the Grain.
It's the 6th.
They're actually going to be doing. I'm not for sure the date, but they're going to be doing a collaboration brew with Stillwater, and then Stillwater's got some other things going on in town. I'm not for sure the date.
December 6th at 6:30.
So I'm right about that one.
That's at Against the Grain. What else we got here, Scott? You got the Toy Drive Black Friday.
We got the Black Friday Toy Drive, 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. Dollar beers. Bring in a toy of $10 value. Don't bring in a ping pong ball or a hammer and say that it could be a toy.
A yo-yo.
Or you can make a $10 donation and you get dollar beers on the everydays, excluding Bourbon Barrel Stout and specialty. So,
and Grind Food Truck's
and Grind be there. Food Truck, they're going to have a breakfast menu as well as their hamburgers. So
sweet.
So you want to be there 6 a.m. to 11 a.m. Get out and drink some beers for the kids.
Yeah.
Do it for the kids.
And then
the kids.
Also, I know later that evening, Knock Bar is going to have their
The
Black Friday, where they have a bunch of Imperial Stouts.
Locally. Big lineup, too.
Yeah, pretty big lineup.
Good Lord.
Also, that day on Black Friday, going along with Knock Bar, is Eiderdown is having some sort of brunch, and BBC Big Fella is going to be on tap over there. So
sweet.
Definitely try to make that one.
What all does New Albanian have going on, Roger? Thanksgiving weekend. Wake up over there.
Is it my turn?
We're
now?
On the air.
Yeah? Really?
Yes.
Okay.
What all do you guys have going on? The Plaid Friday thing?
Plaid Friday thing. We mostly don't use the Black Friday terminology because that is the terminology of big boxes and all the evil things mm-hmm. in the world. So we try to refer to that as Plaid Friday, which is the usage of, I think it's the American Independent Business Alliance.
So it's a nationwide,
thing. I believe it actually started in Oakland some years back. I think usually when you look at the website every year, it's Oakland. That doesn't really have a lot to do with what we're doing on Friday, but we start.
You're not featuring Oakland beers?
No. Why would I do that?
I don't know.
It's Oakland City, Indiana. They don't have a brewery, as far as I know. It's Saturnalia, which is at the old location, the original location. That's the winter and Christmas beers that we put on. And right before Christmas, it starts on Thanksgiving weekend.
How long does it usually last? I mean, I guess it depends on how much beer you
have. Yeah, it does. But pretty much through December, we're trying to not make it into some epic thing like Gravity Head. It's just for the holidays for the most part. So we have 20-odd things, and they'll go on, I don't know, 8 or 10 at a time until they're gone. That starts on Friday at the old location, original location, and then Saturday, downtown New Albany, there's the civic program that goes on every year, which is called Jingle Walk and Winter Fest or something. It's the local development thing. I will be at Keg Liquors with the inimitable Tony Beard, our graphics guy, to tasting downtown New Albany at Keg on Saturday. And then Tony's doing an art show up the street.
Nice. Tony does great work. Your artwork is just unbelievable.
And he also works cheap on the events. We appreciate
well, that's good.
That.
Yeah. That's good to know. I'll keep him in mind for any upcoming events for cheap labor.
You should do that.
Yeah.
I was actually going to one of my rapid fire questions, but I want to know it now. What is your favorite logo that Tony Beard does?
You didn't warn me about that. I didn't get a chance to think about it.
Well, that's why it's called rapid fire.
Rapid fire is normally not a
plan. Yeah, I know. I think that, I don't know, I of the ones that are more mainstream or the more often viewed ones, I still rather like Elector and what he's been able to do with that over the years, because that has some political connotations, and I appreciate that. So probably the Elector girl.
And she's pretty, too.
he does.
He's pretty.
Did you say you would hit that just then?
Yeah, I think that's one way of saying it, yeah.
I'll go with Elector on that.
And did I see that? My favorite, personally, is Tunnel Vision, but did I see that Tunnel Vision's coming back out?
Tunnel Vision has been kegged and packaged, and that's coming out any moment. I'm not exactly sure when.
Okay.
And Who's Your Daddy just came out again, is that right?
Who's Your Daddy came out in October. That runs through March, I suppose. Yeah, March. It's a six-month seasonal.
Yeah.
There's a bottle of it here if you want.
Yeah, let's open it up. Right now we're drinking the Cumberland, what's that called? Just
this is Cumberland's roasted pumpkin ale. We have, their roasted pumpkin, we have their IPA, and then we have NABC's Naughty Claws, Who's Your Daddy, and what's in the growler?
Community Dark.
Community Dark, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Might as well, I can do rapid fire.
Go ahead.
Well, let's hit the rest of those events real quick.
Yeah, the Value Market. Yeah, there's a couple more. Festival.
You got the Value Market Drinking in the Store kickoff, LouisvilleBeer.com tap handle drinking event the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Autographs. Do you have a brand new pack of Sharpies for the autograph session?
I do. Okay, absolutely. Good. I'm signing it all. Not
I'll
all.
Bet you are.
Maybe, but yeah. We'll see. But no, it's 4 to 7. You come in, you buy beer.
Does this say? Skins. Oh, Scott Likens. Get it? Yeah. You sign someone's penis.
What is he talking about?
A penis?
Yeah, okay.
Starts out, and it says, why does this say skins?
They can't see your hand motions.
Why I want to do video podcast.
And this is why John and Scott do the jokes.
The awkward jokes are funny.
Yeah, when
this shit stands out.
All right, so let's talk about Value Market. 4 to 7, drinking in the store.
What's the date?
The Saturday after, Thanksgiving. I don't know I can't keep up with dates.
What your girlfriend's told me.
Yeah, whatever. But anyway, you buy beer, you get a glass, and John Bazell's going to be there talking about his Value Market Beer Fest, which is the 7th.
Yeah.
There's going to be real local celebrities like Drew Johnson.
Roger Baylor.
Possibly Roger Baylor.
Are you going to be there?
Signing autographs.
I don't even know what this is. I mean, I know what
the Value Market Beer
I know
Fest,
what the Value yeah. Market Beer Fest is, but
we'll tell you more about it.
No one has asked me this yet. Of course, it took me 12 weeks to get on this show.
Yeah, you know, save the best for middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't have you on episode one and shoot our wad. We got to
save
you, and you know,
that's what your wife said last night.
We don't visualize those things, and we don't forget them either.
Well, you know, when you start your own podcast,
he's got a point.
When am I going to be on it?
Roger has a point.
He does have a point. But, you know, like I said, there's a lot of people that we've talked to. Scheduling is a pain in the ass. It was hard to get you scheduled. But we tried to have you on a couple weeks ago, right?
But that wasn't at the beginning, though, was it? I mean, come on.
Oh, my gosh. Why are you guys not? You guys are staring me down, too. You're supposed
I'm waiting to finish up talking about the events, man.
See, Worth is nervous today. Worth is nervous.
He's nervous.
He thinks this is going to be some sort of confrontational thing today, doesn't he?
No, I don't think it is at all. Is it going to be?
I'm just drinking beer.
You guys are like cowering.
Hey, will
over
you guys
in the
wait and let me run over to Baxter Avenue and get my box of popcorn and come back? Because I forgot to get it. I sure as hell was going to get some and forgot.
That would have been awesome. Yeah. I would have loved to see
So, anyway,
that.
Value Market. Schreffler's going to be there. Hopefully, Roger will be there. Drew
Roger
Johnson's going to be there. The beer pimp, BBC beer pimp, Phil Derner's going to be there. So, you know.
What is the date
else.
On this?
What's that?
What is the date on this?
It's next. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. I don't know the date.
The
30th. It's like the 30th. 4 to 7, Value Market. It's going to have a bunch of local beers on and filling up growlers with the new LouisvilleBeer.com growler handle.
Yeah. Happy.
Is the plan.
Yeah.
Depends on what time I get away from my keg event.
Dig it. Yeah, 4 to 7, man. Come over and hang out. Be a good time. I'm going to have the mobile podcaster there interviewing folks.
It's going to be epic.
It's going to be fun.
Epic.
Okay. Hour four of that should be really interesting for
Hour
podcast.
Yeah. Those would probably be the interviews that make it on. Yeah. So what do you want to talk about, Roger? Make me nervous.
I want to do my rapid fire first. Before
all
we
right,
get
let's do it.
Because I actually put some thought into this when I was working today.
Nice.
Because I know I follow
Roger. You guys
have
been at home working on your material, man.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to be prepared around here.
So this is kind of rapid fire. Shut up and let me talk. If you had to choose to replace someone, who would it be? Would it be Charlie P from the Brewers Association or Bud Selig of the MLB?
Selig.
All right. Do you like your stouts to taste more roasty or chocolate?
Yes.
I don't think that answers the question. What's your favorite Indiana brewery other than your own?
Good one.
Yeah. I suppose the conventional answer would be those guys up north.
But, son of a bitch, good answer.
But no, but I think that that includes like most of the other breweries in Indiana, actually.
Right.
Up north,
since you're in the south. And
from
all.
Where we are. My favorite brewery in Indiana other than us is Salt Creek in Needmore, Indiana.
Awesome.
Because they're honest.
And because everyone needs more Indiana, right?
I'm not going to touch that.
John's
talking over
here. Yeah, I'm talking.
Yeah, which
not your John. All right, what's your favorite pizza at the Richo's?
Ooh.
Deep dish, green olives, black olives, artichoke, jalapeno pepper, banana pepper, no meat.
Awesome. What is in Louisville, what's your favorite non-beer place to eat? So like you don't go to a specific brewery, but just a regular restaurant.
Vietnam Kitchen.
Good choice. What's your cat's names?
Hugo, Buggle, and Nadia.
Why Buggle?
Rather of an accident. Like
an accident. Oops. We
she's
call
also
this
known
Buggle.
As Miss Bugsworth. She's kind of a developmentally disabled cat.
Is that named after me, Bugsworth?
Keep going.
maybe the mentally disabled part.
Right.
I like Roger just because he ignored Worth on that one.
Yeah. Shut down.
What is your if you could drink one NABC beer for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Elector. And I guess
I asked
answers.
Roger, not
no.
you, dumbass.
Guess.
No. I would say Beaks.
You would say Beaks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would pick that too. I love that beer.
I think it's awesome beer. Underappreciated for whatever reason.
If what is more likely, the fact for tolls to come on the bridge or for you and center plate to hug it out?
Well, we know that tolls will be coming in about 4 years, so I'd say probably the tolls are more likely.
And that's rapid fire. I just thought of those questions. So
thanks,
I try.
Nice preparation there.
Well, someone's got to do some work on this damn thing.
Yeah, right. So let's talk about the beer trading thing. What is your hang up on the beer trading?
I have a hang up?
Well,
I can say that I know both Scott to my left and Roger to my right both aren't big fans of the beer trading.
I don't like people trading, I don't care about. It's just the links that people go, and it's ridiculous, man. It's beer. At the end of the day, it's beer. It's good beer, and I just think people are over the top with it. I mean, you can do whatever you want. I really don't care. But, you know, the guy that lines up at a beer fest an hour before we tap a six-barrel of barrel-aged Tell for Certain, and Phil and I tap it and drink it, he thinks he's going to get the first. We're like, dude, you know, relax. It's beer. And that's my deal with the whole beer geek, beer trader thing.
And Roger? Why do you hate beer geeks?
I don't know.
Let's just come out and say it.
That's just my deal.
We have two consecutive, you know, sort of misconceptions here floated, that one of which is I have some issue with beer traders. Second one is that I hate beer geeks, and you're using that word hate, you know, and I listen to Sam Cruz use it all morning this morning.
I was going to go,
I'm afraid Roger might have a point. I better use a word. Stop hating on that. You know, it's just, you know. Of course, then again, I do rhetoric, and that actually implies knowing what words mean, so I can understand how that would bother some people.
I read the whole conversation, so I know he's right.
But, you know, and let's just take these consecutively then. Okay. The beer trader thing, no, I've never done that.
Yeah, I
was, you know, this came up during the course of the soon-to-be-famous, you know, exchange here last week or so, which was exceedingly fortunate that I was actually a bit sick and I was home to kind of monitor all this and get involved. I thought it was actually a really good discussion
And that was on the Facebook
page. Yeah. So I mean, I thought it was a good discussion. If you strip away some of the crap that was being said on all sides, you know, and that had me actually this morning. I just published it earlier. I thought about holding on to it until the next column, but I went ahead and threw it up on the Potable Curmudgeon, my own page, this morning, and it was just kind of thinking about the beer trading thing. What I was saying was that I think that there's more than one sort of culture. You know, I used to think that craft beer was all one culture, but I think that's obviously now it's big enough and widespread enough that there are different cultures and things about it that appeal to individuals. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that could be a trader swapper, which is, of course, always going to be a bit about the sheer mechanics of doing something. It's you know, it's like rebuilding an engine that's been laid out in pieces in front of you, that you can figure out some way to make connections. I think it does become a bit more about the acquisitiveness and how you scratch that itch than it does about the, you know, the beer appreciation itself. You could also have the beer raiders, the ones who think they can quantify, you know, all the intangibles into something that can be measured. You have the homebrewing ones who just want to try to recreate it, and it's all about a do-it-yourself type thing. Mm-hmm. You have the ones, I think, where I fall into this, which is all about, you know, the joy of beer is some sort of localist type of culture, something where you're, you know, sitting like we are right now, you know, within proximity of each other. You're not doing it electronically. You're not doing it by mail. Yeah. You know, you're actually just sitting in a place.
That would have been fun to do that thread by mail. Like a chain letter. Like, don't break this chain or you'll go to hell.
It would have been. That's some throwback.
Yeah.
So all those things, and you know, I do think that there is an element of the trading and swapping culture that would be you know, different from the way that I look at things on the ground, and I'm rather like Scott on that. Whatever you want to do, it's okay. But what I think I don't like about it is, and you say, well, my reality is the only reality, and that's an objective reality, and I just disagree with that. I think it's a extremely subjective reality, and you can have more than one subjective reality, but don't tell me then, by extension, and this is what came up in the context of our discussion online, was that, and if you recall, and you know, names aren't necessary, it was, well, the local beers here aren't as attractive to traders. Therefore, if we're to have a better local beer culture, we need to do whatever is possible to make our beers attractive to traders, most of which would imply borrowing whatever imagery and whatever methods they have someplace else, and then taking away what's ever unique to us just so you can trade better.
Right.
Okay, cool. But that's not, you know, a reality that interests me very much.
I totally disagree with that statement, and I know many people that brought it up. But I'm going to go out on a limb and call you out on something, Roger. You're old. So let me go back. 10 years ago, did you think it would come to this? Because I totally agree with you to the different levels. There's not one entity that you can be a beer geek. There's many different pockets, and it's a good thing because it, you know, it goes to those things. And like I said earlier, there's kind of a pyramid level of you build up. Did you think it was going to become somewhat like this 10 years ago?
No, not to the extent that it is now. Mm-hmm. I thought that would just be still kind of a really isolated
type ranch thing.
Yeah. I think that this underscores a lot of what I say all the time when, you know, when I get in trouble for saying things like this, because I'm really I know other people feel the same way. I'm really the only one dumb enough to say it out loud, is that when, you know, I am old.
John King's going to be old one day.
Yeah,
also.
I'm going to be old one day.
I am old. I am old, and this goes back a while now. And to me, back in the days, like 1992 was when we first really started the Public House in earnest. And we were doing beer from everywhere else because we didn't quite have our own yet. The silo started the same year. Mm-hmm. And then BBC started the year after that. And so then we had our own beer. And so I thought the direction it would go at the time was that it's sort of like, it's almost like Marxist theory. There are these necessary levels or these stages that have to occur. I thought, good, now we're to the point where we have our own breweries. Then this means we're going to have our own local brewing culture, and we might have 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 or 15 breweries here, and then it's all about us now. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, obviously it didn't work that way. It worked that way into everything everybody does gets shipped everywhere, and so we all fight for little 5-inch spaces on a shelf.
Sure.
Yeah.
And you know, I actually thought about that today. I mean, because the places where the shelves are, they're not expanding, but all the beer companies in here are. So, I mean, shelf space is in a minimum with all the new breweries coming in. So, yeah.
But not all of them are going to be bottling and
distributing
them.
Yeah.
So.
No, but yeah, I think what he's talking about, though, is so many beers coming to town, it's going to shrink shelf space. Isn't that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is. There's a lot of them wanting to come in here.
Space. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's a dilemma. It's, you know, some of us like it, but then also, you know, it's just going to be harder and harder to get out there. So, are you looking up questions from?
No, go. Oh. Keep going.
I'm done. I'd have to look at my questions. I don't know.
So, what's a good segue then? Do you have a segued question there? Come on. All right. So, the comment that I made on your column, the last column on LouisvilleBeer.com, was about the Rogue Tap takeover that never got answered.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Oh, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after your last column, I said, well, how did that NABC Rogue Tap takeover go? Because you were talking about, you know, why does no one ever have a Cumberland Tap takeover at their local bar or whatever? And I think somebody commented on somewhere, maybe in that Bluegrass Beer Geeks thread, about, you know, who would go to a Cumberland Tap takeover when they can just go to Cumberland?
But they don't go to Cumberland, though.
No, Cumberland is packed every time I drive by there.
But most of the people who say that don't go to Cumberland.
I can agree. I will agree with Roger. I live right down the road from Cumberland. I go there more, honestly, for the food. Mm-hmm. But they, as we can attest, I brought some of their beer today, and it's definitely not too shabby.
No, so. It's freaking good.
Yeah.
So,
well, let's talk about the Rogue Tap takeover for a minute, because
I know you and Rogue go way back.
Got a little stitch in his side.
I go back, you know, really far with Rogue, and I wasn't even the one who came up with that idea, because I don't do the daily buying at the Public House any longer. Sure. That's Eric. And so this, and also, I mean, what you come into in sometimes in questions like this is what I say is a pundit. You know, I don't want to lean too heavily on the creativity of people who you pay to do something. So, mm-hmm. You know, he thought it was a good idea to do a Rogue Tap takeover, and I don't disagree. It was fine. Sure. It's fine. Go ahead and do a Rogue Tap takeover. I think.
It just seemed the timing was kind of like, what the fuck? He's talking out of this side of his mouth and then posting a Rogue Tap takeover. That was my only beef with it. I don't want to say beef.
I can see that, but the alternative to that to me is that I have to, you know, clear everything that I'm about to say come out of my mouth with somebody who works for me who has a job to do.
Right.
So
yeah. Well,
I'm not going to do that. It's rather like anyone who would, you know, differ with things that one of my employees might say in a hypothetical sort of way.
What are you referring to?
In a hypothetical sort of way. But I would ask you, okay, so what you're telling me, you know, brother, you need to have a social media policy, and you need to make sure that none of this stupid shit gets said. Okay, do you want to wear that yoke where you work, okay? You know, so it's not so easy to say, just Roger, why don't you just do this or do that? Well, I'm also trying to deal with personalities and also trying to have a team, you know, it's not so easy. So. And sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. So the Rogue thing, the only thing about it that I observed, and we had a discussion afterwards, because to me, if you can't have a teaching moment out of something, then it's not, you know, it's not worth your while to play this game. Mm-hmm. It was just that from whom we get that is this large sort of monolithic Indiana wholesaler who's tied to another large monolithic Indiana, you know, wholesaler primarily of non-craft brands, and we may or may not be talking about world-class beer here. And so, you know, we get – Eric does a good job of getting some rogues in. We like Rogue. We go back. We're buddies for years and years and years. That's cool. And at the same time, you know, there is at least a possibility, as I have observed when I've gone out and gone around places, that not Rogue, but a representative of this same wholesaler may be taking one of our taps off someplace to put one of his or her taps on. And then we do someone from the same company a favor by having five rogues or six rogues on tap at the same time. I just say, well, you know what? I'm not so much in favor of doing favors for people who are screwing me.
Sure.
And at some point you have to look at that and you have to ask that question. And you know, that's not about brewery to brewery. This is about this sort of level that wholesalers exist, you know, love them, hate them. And we all understand that. Can't do without them, at least in Indiana. You know, with the laws that we have in Indiana, if we want to do a Salt Creek tap takeover, I can just buy the beer from Brad and put it on tap, and we don't have to go through a wholesaler, and then there's not that issue.
Right.
So that's what I took away from the whole Rogue thing was what does this mean about, you know, if I and what I plainly said, and I don't mind saying this out loud, is that I get wind that somebody from that wholesale house has grabbed one of our taps someplace. Not many breweries could retaliate, but I can because we have the public house. So I will take one of their beers off tap, too, if it comes to that. We'll go one for one. Fine with me.
Sure.
And that's the part that bothered me about that. Now, that it happened to coincide with me shooting my mouth off someplace else, hey, you know, that happens.
You like to shoot your mouth off?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Really? Let me ask you.
I can live with it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I really respect the hell of you, and I don't agree with everything you have to say, but I do agree with a lot from the small-town perspective. But do you ever think that, you know, maybe people may not choose NABC because you are so strong in your opinion? I mean, I'm sure, you know, that's the same
that
thing.
That's a delicate way to put that.
I mean,
John.
But you could.
Well spoken.
We're talking. We're talking about craft beer. That could go into politics. You know, that could go into goddamn Papa John's and people not. Yeah. I personally don't eat Papa John's pizza because he's a dick bag, and he gets drunk all the time and kisses people. But
how are you unlike Papa John in the way you just described him?
God damn it.
So the other dick bag as well.
Because to go back to that, it's very important to have your own voice. And, you know, when you have a voice, you know, you're obviously going to win some and you're going to lose some. And in the form of media, I don't think there's any bad press, you know, because if you have good, bad press, it's going to get you, you know, get you some attention. What do you kind of think about that?
I think we had this discussion the other day at work, and I was talking about maybe that we all should have at least some sort of theoretical chat about what our, you know, proper kind of face to the world should be. Everyone except me.
You're excluded from that.
Because you own it, yeah.
And
yeah.
Because I'm old.
And you are.
And it's, you know, way past the point of being able to change.
You're wiser than most.
And I think that, you know, much of the time I know when to filter. It might not seem like it, but much of the time I do. And maybe even most of the time I do. And
you do a lot of passive-aggressive kind of stuff, though, too.
You know,
and is that your filter? Is that how you filter yourself?
I'm not going to answer that.
Yes.
Yeah. I do, though. I mean, I've always looked at it like, okay, fine, I am what I am. If someone appreciates it, there is a good deal of experience and passion behind it. Maybe they'll appreciate that even if they disagree with me. And if they don't, then, you know, I don't know.
Fuck like,
them.
Well, and that is
hate them and fuck them like John Worth does.
that is the T-shirt you wear that says "fuck you." I have enough friends. You know?
Yeah.
That's what it
and
is.
I find myself not unfortunately, but along the same lines as Roger many times with not giving a shit what people think.
Right.
Unfortunately, oh well.
The Heidelberg breakup. You want to talk about that? Let's talk about
I suppose I can now. Well, so once upon a time, there was Bryant.
Right.
And we...
you want to open it up?
Sorry, Scott needs a beer.
Yeah, sorry, I'm running low, man.
And that was Bryant, and we signed on with Bryant so we could sell a little bit of beer in places like Lexington and Newport and such. Mm-hmm. And not in
They're
Jefferson
based out
County.
Of northern Kentucky, right?
Heidelberg is now, yes.
Yeah.
Bryant then. I don't remember, but that was
sure.
some people we knew. And I think we had the bad fortune to catch Bryant on the downward spiral, as it turns out. I don't think anyone knew that at the time, but they seemed like really nice people, and they just never had much of a chance to go anywhere. We shipped a bit of beer, and then they got absorbed by Heidelberg, and then we talked to Heidelberg, and we thought that was a good enough fit, and so we signed on with them. And then and from where I'm sitting, they proceeded to do really absolutely nothing with our brand for quite some time. I think the numbers would show that, and I don't know where that breakdown comes from, and it's all, you know, water under the bridge now, but it was definitely a case for a divorce, and so we have achieved that, and so we are, again, free agents outside the boundaries of River City at okay. the moment, and I don't know what that exactly means, but and so I can't actually, if I want to say, well, you know, what was wrong with Heidelberg, I couldn't tell you because they didn't do anything. So I don't know what the...
What was wrong.
I don't know what it was. I couldn't yeah. I couldn't logically say that. Because
what is your distribution? Where do you guys, like, do you guys just sell beer in Kentucky and Indiana?
For the most part, we've done Indiana all along with Cavalier out of Indianapolis statewide. We started out distributing ourselves just around home. We gave that up earlier this year because we just didn't want to. It was kind of a hassle. I mean, we can still do it. We have an agreement. It's good. We can self-distribute because the state law lets us.
Right on.
And so if we want to run a keg down someplace, that's cool. We can do it separately.
That's pretty good to be able to do that.
It is. But, you know, there's other breweries that started out doing it, you know, completely, like Sun King. I mean, one of the things that people don't ever talk much about Sun King is that those guys dove into it totally. They had a whole bunch of trucks and a whole bunch of drivers and a whole bunch of salesmen. And they weren't working with any wholesaler the first two or maybe 3 years that they were in business. They were all doing it themselves. And I think that one of the underappreciated aspects of what Sun King has done up in Indy is how they started, that they really did take full advantage of that provision, being able to do self-distribution. So they did, and now they do some other wholesalers in the state. But
it'd be awesome to be able to do that in Kentucky.
Do you think that'll
sure.
ever pass in Kentucky? I mean, do you think the KGB is working towards changing
I'm sure
that
they
part
are.
Of the law?
I'm sure yeah. they are. I mean, I mean,
I know you're not a member of the KGB. Of the Kentucky Yule
Brewers. Of that KGB.
Yeah, that.
I'm sure they will. It's you know, that's one thing that I've had more experience, I've learned about the last few years being on the Guilds Board in Indiana is the – the political process and the way that is probably even more screwed up than most people imagine.
Sure.
It's such a strange labyrinth of things to get anything done. We've had some pretty good luck in Indiana on that, but so I can't comment on Kentucky because I have no idea what you'd have to really do some heavy lobbying, and this is going to be with you know, wholesalers not being for you.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to be totally against it. So you have to connect it to something else. And, you know, one of the ways to do that is to press the economic development aspect of it, and also to tie it more closely to things like agriculture. Even if there's no hops being grown, you still want to approach it from, well, we will be growing hops someday, whether you are or not. You
right.
want to say that.
Yeah.
You want to get along board with the agriculture people. That's going to be the, you know, whether it's hops or sorghum or anything else that you're
right
doing.
So that leads me to a question I wanted to ask too about, you are Mr. Local. I mean, you are everything. You're a local vor, I guess. Do you accept that?
I accept
term?
It. Okay. Yeah, I try.
So you guys use some locally grown hops, Indiana grown hops?
Yeah, once
right?
a year. I mean, there's
oh,
none.
Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah. There's not, there's
they just don't grow.
It's my understanding, and I'm not extremely well versed in this, but it's my understanding that the hops don't react so well to the weather. We tend to have the sticky weather is
correct.
A lot of mold issues and things of that nature that make it really difficult. Now, I think it's something that might be knocked out by some research and hybridizing and things like that someday. It's possible to do that. And until then, you do have some local people up in the knobs across the river that are doing it. So we, once a year in the fall, we made a big batch of the wet knobs this year out of a guy named Freiberger. Who grows hops. So, I mean, it's possible, and I know that barley used to be grown in this part of the country. Mm-hmm.
You would think that its distant cousin that grows very well here in this region
right.
would also grow as yeah. well here.
And I think no one's
sunflowers.
I think it's
yeah,
true.
Sunflowers,
right. I think it's absolutely true, and no one's done the research on it, which, excuse me, is why it is important, like in Indiana right now, we're really trying to get – excuse me again, affiliated with the Purdue about mm-hmm. agricultural right side on. Of it, so that hopefully the Guild and Purdue and the State Agriculture Department will have sort of a three-way thing going on here pretty soon, which could only lead to good.
Scott, nothing?
I was waiting for...
Come on.
No, I mean... I was looking at my beer, actually.
here's my idea. I have a I know you're a big fan of these. I have a big wheelbarrow full of cash, actually $1 million. I'm going to give you $1 million. What would you like to do with that $1 million for NABC if you had your own way to do it?
I think we need to try to buy Mount St. Francis. A classic beer garden. Hotel.
Well, I never thought of that. That one coming.
So that's it?
I mean, you hit it out of the park on that one.
Wow. So I'm going to – we posted
you posted some questions.
Yeah, I've got a controversial question.
Please do.
What – and I've read it, and it's been a while since I've read it, but what's the deal with Big Red Liquors?
That's on my list.
Oh, Big Red Liquors. So
I've read a few articles.
I've read that, man, at least more than once. And I was going to go back and read it, and I thought, well, it'd be more fun if he told it to me so in person. So
package store monopolists. We had a little tiff one time, 2003, I believe. I think we celebrated the 10th anniversary of our tiff here not long ago.
We raised a glass.
Yeah.
I don't have any beer.
Naughty Claws is good, by the way,
yeah,
Roger.
Very tasty.
Very good.
We had a little tiff at one of their festivals in Bloomington, and they sort of accused us of fomenting unrest in their crowd. A lot of people were standing in front. It's right when we first started brewing. It was one of our first festivals we ever did. And
so you were rookies.
And we were, rookies. We were spreading the good news. And and at some point, the crowd in front of our station began chanting, Miller Lite sucks, Miller Lite sucks. And the organizers, Big Red, got really upset about that and ended up throwing us out. And
so they organized the beer festival that was, like, they were the sponsor?
Big Red organizes a couple of beer festivals every year in Bloomington, and now Big Red has a lot of stores in Indy, too.
Yeah.
But they do it in Bloomington.
They're everywhere in Bloomington. I mean, you can't.
Well, and that's what monopolies are all about, John. You have, complete control of the situation like that.
And do not pass go, word. Do not collect $200.
Could you go to jail?
And the part about this that appealed to me when after it happened was, of course, I was angry that we got thrown out. I thought we got humiliated, and I really detest the ground they walk on for a long time to come. Although Nixon went to China, what the hell? Who knows? Someday maybe somebody can negotiate that. But it you go back and you look at it and you see that the at the time the big controversy was also Bob Knight. And he was in the process, I think, of working his way out of a job at that point. And his nemesis on campus was a professor named Murray Sperber. And Murray Sperber did a great book, which is called Beer and Circus, which everyone should read sometime, which talked about the entire essence of college sports as being a circus in order to take the student's mind off the fact that the quality of the education is so exceedingly poor.
Hmm.
And one of the other ways that you do that is with beer. And if you're doing that with beer in a place like Bloomington at the time that Sperber was writing, then what you're buying the beer from is Big Red Liquors. So they are complicit in my mind in the beer and circus. They didn't like me saying that, and so the hell with them. And so we probably are costing ourselves quite a lot of sales by not doing business with them.
I've got one more.
I'm going to sit back,
and I think this is going to be the best one. Have you ever done a body pump 4 or a kickboxing 3 class with Dave Pierce at Jewish Community Center?
Which gets mentioned on every episode if you listen at home.
I have never been to the Jewish Community Center.
Okay.
I would like to go sometime.
Dave, I think that was an invitation.
Yeah.
He's I walk. I go right out on. And I walk. That's what I do
I
for exercise.
You.
I walk.
I got you.
David Pierce is a badass.
Pierce is... How would you describe Pierce to our community? I mean, he's a good friend of mine. Love the guy.
He's awesome.
He's been doing good things for you guys and for Louisville and Kentucky and in general. I mean, what are your thoughts?
I think he is, and I don't know the exact word. There's probably some compound German word that describes this, and we don't have it in English. But it is
fucking grooving. I've seen that on the back of cars.
Half the shit Roger says I look up anyway. So, right.
He is completely devoted to quality. He's obsessed by that, I think, and of taking. I mean, I know I have a lot of discussions with people who say they remember our beers tasting differently in the past as they do now, and I always agree with that, and I think they taste a lot better than they do now because they're consistent, because he has found the heart of the, you know, the idea, and, you know, made that quality stand out. And it's not that the beers were bad before. Yeah, they were more inconsistent, and it was a smaller brewery, and things like that happen. But I think he gets to the, you know, right to the heart of things, and dials it in and keeps it there, and that's what you have to have. And he's totally committed to it, totally lives it, and he has 30 years of experience, or 20 odd years of experience now. And so I think that we're both old.
He's
older than me. So.
I call him my dad. There's many times where I've said he's my father to get him in specific things. And most people don't know about Dave is, you know, Dave doesn't drink anymore. So, I mean, he still takes samples and does everything with the beer, but he's not a big, you know, he's not a beer drinker anymore. And so that's something that you can respect, of the fact that he's so passionate about his job. But
that he still brews.
Yeah, that he still
brews. And I haven't learned that bit. Yeah, I'm still.
So you drink? When did that start?
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fact you guys use my old man sorghum in your beer. And it was on the last label, the Tricentennial Ale. So he's hauled that around and showed it to everybody in Eastern Kentucky. So.
Has he really?
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he had some Country Boy when they used it, but it was in a growler. So this actually has a label with his name on it. So
We'll probably do that.
Strong.
It is strong.
We'll do the formula of the Tricentennial again sometime, call it something different.
Yeah, cool.
Almost certainly, because it was very good.
Well, you know where to get your
sorghum. I didn't drink it, man. I didn't want to open it, so, you know, because just leave it the way it is.
Yeah. It'll be a collector's item someday. I'm sure there's a website for that you can find the value of it.
I wonder what I can get for that in a couple of years, man.
Dark Lord. Wow. Dark Lord.
That's actually why I'm sitting on it. I haven't there opened it.
Investment vehicle. I appreciate that.
I know there's questions here. What are your thoughts on Against the Grain naming a lot of their beers
I'd like to know that.
Very similar to yours, or to kind of play off words of, you know, how you guys name your beers?
I hadn't noticed.
I will say it may have taken the 12th podcast, but Roger's been the best guest.
It's taken 12 episodes to get to this. Bonfire of the Daiquiris.
It's actually
I drank that one. I thought it was good. I liked it.
My favorite was Boob's old 36.
Yeah, 36.
Triple D or whatever it was.
It's funny.
I believe they expect us to come out and play, but I don't think we're going to.
So what is the deal? You guys seem to butt heads a lot. Or maybe not butt heads, but they seem to like to pick at you.
I've never once picked at them. See, it's all them doing it to me, isn't it?
And
I'm the aggrieved party when it comes to this relationship.
And Three Floyds. They pick at Three Floyds as well. Which
maybe
is,
it's an Indiana thing. Yeah. But Sam is a Hoosier, too. So I don't know
is he a craft beer bully?
He might be. He might be the third now.
I mean, I think that there's an element of kind of shared theater and all that. Because
agreed.
We went there a couple, 3 weeks ago. I went there for lunch and got completely hammered and had a great time. So it's not. And when I go there, I always drink either the session or the smoke. Yeah. And I love what they do.
I love
the in-house things that they do are great in those categories, because I like those categories. So it's no big deal. It's all good.
So you're not going to start naming shit after them?
There's not going to be this Sam Cruise Taint IPA or anything like that.
Well, they're not that good.
Whoa. Let's go to some Facebook questions.
By the way, Facebook, Ricky, you can kiss my ass for saying that Roger and I should. What is it? Open mouth kiss?
Yeah.
No. If we drink all these beers, it could happen.
It could happen. There's a lot of beer here. Ricky Burdett wants to know, what is your stop it, you two. What is your fondest memory of starting in ABC, and maybe a quick story about the first beginnings?
I suppose he means NABC as a company and not as a brewery, or as a brewery and not as a company, because...
Your choice.
I would say, as far as the I'll just do the brewery side of it, because it's been 11 years, and it is kind of fascinating to me this year to sort of realize that we're the 13th or 14th oldest brewery in Indiana now, and it's only been 11 years.
Wow.
There are 73 breweries in the state, so that's kind of interesting because I would have had no idea that we were in the top 15, but we are. Mm-hmm. Of course, some have gone down over the years. But when we started brewing, I think the most interesting thing about that to me was that I started doing some research on that and realized that there had not been a brewery in the city of New Albany for 67 years prior to when we started it. And so that's a lot of time. And if you come to the thinking that it's really essential to have a brewery in your town, it's kind of like that old Zappa comment about you know, to be a country, you got to have an airport and a football team and that. Well, you got to have a brewery to be a town. And so we hadn't had one for all those years. And I think what that did was get me started looking at more of the local aspect of things.
Mm-hmm. It was more in Eastern Kentucky. If you had a McDonald's, you had a town. And we got one like about 5 years ago. So,
nice. Oh, 5 years ago?
Yeah, it's not long.
Now, to be a real town, now you need to have two-way streets. That's my life.
Yeah. Oh,
I was going to throw that in. Can we talk about that?
I was going to mention that, too. I was going to make a joke. But
yeah, it makes
since
sense.
Since John King doesn't think I'm funny...
Now
all of a fucking sudden,
can you please keep
Jason,
reading?
Yeah, Jason Livers of Elleville Beer fame used to write for Louisville.com. He wants to know: does NABC have any collaboration beers in the pipeline for down the road?
We have been talking to Bloomington Brewing Company for a long time.
Awesome.
About doing
place.
Something with them. And last glance on this, it was us and Bloomington and Brewing. And whenever they come down, they always go to Feast. And so we were trying to figure out a way to get Ryan involved with this somehow. So I'm not sure.
Smoked something.
Yeah. Hopefully. I don't know. Yeah. But they're talking about that. And I'm not sure how that's going to go. We're doing the collaboration right now ongoing with Houndmouth, the band, which is all about.
How much did they have any say in that?
They did. We had a meeting about it, and they've all, at least the guys in the group, all been coming in for a long time. And I, knew them by face before I even knew who they were in terms of name before I realized they were even musicians.
Sure.
And we had a meeting back earlier in the year, probably January, February, and talked about it. And they kind of we chatted about it. Ended up saying, well, what they seemed to want kind of fit this notion of doing a hoppy wheat beer, so that's what we did. It's gone pretty well. That's the other thing going on the Thanksgiving weekend on Friday night and Saturday night. Both they're doing shows both nights at Headliners. And
awesome.
For that occasion, Headliners will have Draft.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
Are going to have River City's equipment there and do jockey boxes. So there'll
very
be
cool.
Houndmouth at Headliners for that.
That's cool.
So we're of course really proud of them because they're from New Albany. So it's the local aspect. And then the other thing, we continue to talk, and we haven't had a chance to figure out how to get together, but every time I see him, every time we talk, guys up at Peoples in Lafayette, which do really great beer, too. It's Chris Johnson. And we want to have a beer called the People's Republic of New Albania. We've been talking about that for a long time. So we're hoping to have that done. We're hoping to actually do it this year and to have it ready for their festival in Lafayette at the end of August in 2014.
You also need to get on the Highland Coffee bandwagon. I tried to hook David Pierce up with those guys to do some kind of coffee beer that never happened. So I need to get back on
Pierce
board
is
with
particular
that.
About his coffee. He likes it. He likes to get it roasted. But I think Ed roasts most of his coffee. I'm unsure. But I can say that Houndmouth has taken off just as much as the hoppy IPA or hoppy wheat style of beer, because we had one from actually Bloomington Brewing Company had a hoppy wheat.
The 10 speed.
Who else? Country Boy had one as well.
The other Trailhead IPA.
Three Floyds has one, I think.
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of wheats, but the hoppy wheats.
Gumballhead.
I know, I've heard of it.
So we brought that in at Session Strength as well, and that's one thing that I like to try to do as much of as we can.
Joel has been working on some just pilot beers that we're going to release in the tap room only, and he's got a hoppy wheat, and he wanted the ABV to be around 5, and it shot up to like 7.5. So we're trying to drink that and get through it so we can do another pilot batch.
Tough job.
Imperial American Hoppy Wheat.
Yes.
Just add an Imperial on it. It's good.
So Bryce Westhusing wants to know, and I don't understand why he asked this question the way he did. I don't understand.
Bryce.
Yeah.
Keep driving the mobile home, buddy.
What beer is in your fridge?
He drives a mobile home.
Right meow.
That's from Super Troopers, the movie. But
yeah. Whatever. And you have cats.
Is that some sort of science fiction thing?
No, it's a stupid comedy from college. Okay. My college.
So let's rephrase this question. What beer is in your fridge right now?
There are two beers in my fridge right now. I don't keep much beer in my fridge because I live within 10-minute walk of my place. Mm-hmm. So I don't see the need to do that. When I'm at home, I drink a lot of gin and wine.
Oh, yeah? Nice. Mixed? Doesn't sound like a good mixer.
When necessary. Yeah. I have a can of IPA from Tin Man in Evansville, and I have a bottle of Schlenkerla Urbach. That's what I brought it home. I brought the Urbach home to use to make bean soup, but I decided not to because I couldn't stand to do that.
I want to get back to this guy driving a mobile home that John King's talking about.
He drives
a mobile home.
He's currently driving a mobile home around cross country to decide where he wants to live.
He's in California now, I believe.
Is it a double wide or single wide?
I don't care.
It's just an RV or
it's an RV, Clark.
It's a Todd Ferris wants to know, if you could be reincarnated as a beer, which beer would you be and why?
This one is easy.
Okay.
Goose Island. Because if I were Goose Island, then I would have unlimited amount of money and support from the parent company, and I could remake myself into anything that I damn well pleased.
Nice.
I'm going to ask a question.
Even bourbon can.
Because I know one of my friends was asked this when she was interviewed for a job. What is your spirit animal?
Ha ha. That's interesting. My spirit animal. I think it's a rat. I don't know. We asked everybody that when we were doing the interviews. And
yeah.
I'm not sure that I ever actually thought how that would apply to me. So I don't know.
So you're staying with rat?
I'll stay with a rat. All that right. Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that's good. Richard Rush wants to know. Oh, no. He just says, always err on the side of more beer.
Yeah, this is my lawyer who wants me to drink more beer and come over here and drive drunk and go home.
Yeah, say,
I think you can see what his motives are.
Do you have his cart?
Yeah, Richard friended me on Facebook, and I've been following him. Like, he's a lawyer that likes to drink a lot of beer. He's a good friend of mine.
Now. Yeah.
Actually, we're looking for an attorney to, if they would like to buy an ad for Craft Beer Week next year, a DUI lawyer.
He's also very fond of New Age pronouncements now. I'm not sure what that means. What's next?
What's next is Wade Mattingly, last week's guest, wants to know, how much time would Roger prefer to spend talking about the two-way street issue versus beer on the podcast?
I could take the entire podcast and talk about two-way streets if you'd like me to do that. Have me back sometime, maybe episode 24 or 36.
That sounds about right, yeah.
How about we come on your podcast and talk about that when you launch?
Can we leave Worth at home and just be me?
Yeah, one of the,
yes.
Hey,
I thought this might have been, if I wanted to play this today more confrontational, I did have a list of questions for you guys. I was going to come in and say, the hell with your questions.
Let's hear them.
Oh, I thought.
Let's go.
No. I'm not going to do that.
Let's go.
No.
Come on.
No.
Bring it.
He says no.
No.
A guest coming in next
week. No means no, Mr. Winston. No means no.
I'd like to hear those.
I'd like to ask him, but not today. We're running out of time, aren't we?
All right, episode 24, we'll get to those. Can Ken Mattingly do a day with a brewer at NABC over Christmas break, free labor? Wade Mattingly.
Needs to ask Dave that.
Ask David Pierce.
I'm sure it's yes, but I need to ask Dave.
Jeff Polk says, several new breweries are scheduled to open up in Louisville and southern Indiana area within the next few months. What's your impression of them, and what piece of advice would you give to them? Good question, Jeff.
That is a good question.
Well, we have this saying that everybody knows this one, that my advice is that, it's easy to make, well, I shouldn't ask that. It's a question. How do you make a million in brewing? You start with 10 million. Be prepared to spend a whole bunch of money, even if it's a nano, even if it's something you don't think you're going to spend any money on, you're going to spend money on it.
Sure.
As far as the ones that are starting up, I know what they are. Have you had these on the podcast? I really haven't listened to any of the podcasts yet.
You got to listen to understand what's going on.
You're probably going to go home tonight and download all of them.
Our hits are going to go through the roof.
I listened to the Schlafly one with Scott.
Yeah, why don't you listen to the podcast? Why do you hate everything Louisville?
I don't listen to all of them.
I never listen to the podcast after we do it.
I never.
But you guys are on the podcast.
Yeah, but I don't always remember what I say on the podcast. That's key.
The key here is Roger's not always on the podcast until episode 12. So you don't listen to the podcast?
No, I haven't. I've listened to one of them. I listened to a little bit of one of the other ones. So I'm aware.
So how do you know? Why did you want to be on it then? If you had never heard him?
Yeah, I'm old, and Yeah, I think
so. You don't understand what a podcast is.
No, I understand what a podcast is. The whole point of me being here is to kind of make this, you know, gentle, you know, that age needs to be served, and, you know, waiting until the 12th episode is just way too long for me to wait.
I know, and it is almost 6 p.m., and that's like 2 hours before dinner time. So. Wait, sorry.
I'm usually asleep by now.
You've had the shades pulled, and...
I'm usually asleep by now.
PJ's on.
Gotten through that second bottle of gin, and...
Before you get to a question, I'm going to ask, because I just got into it thanks to my friend who had an obsessive compulsive hobby.
Beer trading?
No. He
gin bought, drinking.
He had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of cigars and did not tell his wife. What is your favorite? What are some of your favorite cigars?
My favorite cigar is the one that smokes all the way through without me having to
light it.
Yeah, I mean, I used to pay attention to that.
Yeah.
It's and then it kind of got away from me. And right now I can't remember. There's a couple of brands that I like that I get at Billow and mm-hmm. downtown in New Albany. I mean, obviously, if somebody gives me an Arthur Fuente, I'll smoke it. I don't go looking for something like that. I don't know. I go into...
You don't trade cigars?
You're not a cigar
trader. I
don't
trade cigars. And I used to be a big fan of a couple of the Cubans that I would get when I was going to Europe, and then it just seemed like it was ridiculous to spend that much money on something when you could find ones that were perfectly adequate. So I don't know. I mean, I my mind fogs up, and I can see the labels on it right now. I don't smoke as much as I used to either. If the weather's nice outside, I sit on the porch and I have a cigar. And if it isn't, I don't smoke. Yeah. So
Bryce says, pick between the two scenarios. NABC is forcibly taken over by a giant corporation, or prohibition is reinstated.
Oh. How much did the corporation pay, did he say?
No, he did not say.
Well, then how can I answer the question if he doesn't tell me how much I got paid?
$1 million.
As Roger puts on his Bermuda trunks to relax on the beach.
I mean, it's obvious that NABC gets taken over by a giant corporation, because when that happens, then we in effect die, and then we're no longer alive. Therefore, it doesn't matter what happens. Therefore, I take the money and I go someplace else. This should be completely obvious. What an obvious question.
Okay.
What an obvious question. I wouldn't wish prohibition on people. Why would I do that?
Yeah. Good point.
Yeah. That would be horrible.
Anybody else got anything for Mr. Baylor while
I was here? Gravity Head coming up.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite events, one of the first events I went to when I really started getting into beer. What are some of the beers you're looking forward to, or can you give us any teasers of some beers that are coming up?
We did. I think we published a list of the first 20-odd. It was on the NABC website. And it's a measure of how little attention I pay to this now that I don't remember everything that was on it. I believe we have, I know we have those Schlafly's coming in that Scott talked about mm-hmm. on the previous podcast. We usually have the Flat 12 guys haven't really.
You're doing a good job burping off the air, by the way. Thank you so much.
Dan appreciates that.
Yes, Dan, this is for you.
Flat 12 hasn't told us yet exactly what they're going to have this year, and
they made a beer for you, because I was at
KGB.
I was at Great American Beer Festival with one of their brewers, and I was standing in line with them, and he said he's from Flat 12, and I said, "Oh, I'm from Louisville," and he asked if I knew who Roger Baylor was, and I just kind of chuckled.
And you were like, "Who?
Who?"
And he's like, "Yeah, we made a beer and everything like that." So yeah, Flat 12 makes great beer. Yeah,
did you say that old dude over in New Albany?
And he wouldn't have known whether it was me or Pierce.
Right. Which one was it?
The one that does Body Pump.
Yes, four.
Four.
The Body Pump guy or the two-way street guy? Are you talking about? But you asked me that question, and again, I don't pay attention to the details anymore, because it's always good. There's some Imperial Stout, there's some barley wines. There's Eric told me that we had dibs on a keg of Santa Claus. I don't know if we're going to do it this year, keep it a year and let it age some. It'll be mostly craft, handful of imports. We'll also talk to Eads and see what Starlight has from like the Shelton portfolio. We might be able to get a few of those. It looks kind of heavy on Imperial Stouts and barley wines again. Nothing wrong with that.
No, because you guys always bring some old Bigfoot. Some usually have some really old Bigfoot on
and
tap.
And we've gradually, I think the one this year, I could be wrong, because it's on the website. If you just went and searched Gravity Head on that, 20-odd beers listed, and it's 4 or 5 years old, maybe, the Bigfoot this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I'm going to ask you this question because I pay attention to both on Twitter. Who do you appreciate more, the owner of Sam Adams or the owner of Stone?
Stone.
Stone. I 150% agree with you.
Yeah,
he's so awesome.
Yeah, Greg does amazing things, I think, for craft beer. And he's like you. He just speaks his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we've met once, and we will send a note back and forth a couple times a year. So I wouldn't say he's a friend, but he's certainly an acquaintance.
And he raised a bunch of money to shave. He'd grown his beard for a while, and then he's going on a 6-month sabbatical, not answering any emails, anything like that. But he raised a shitload of money for, I think it was for some cancer cause, to shave off his beard. How much money would have to be raised to shave off the goatee?
And raffle off the beads.
Oh, yeah, definitely raffle off the beads.
I've actually thought about that. I don't know if that'd be worth that much. Don't know.
What the hell was that?
What was that?
I just got an IM here. Lee White says, thanks, John. We got a lot of cute ones.
I wouldn't tell John's wife about
it. It said, hey, John, you need to hurry up. I got your latex suit out waiting.
Ask her how much she'd bit on the beard.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop.
Hypothetically, if you had a chance to pay for this. Yeah,
I don't know. Those beads are pretty fancy.
When was the last time you've, the chins had nothing on it?
Well, that's not actually much of a flattering thing, because it takes me a long time to grow a beard. So it's been
hair.
2008, probably. 2008. Yeah. And what's bothering me more than this is okay, I don't mind this, but the long hair in back is really starting to get on my nerves. I'd like to cut it off. But you can donate that for some cause, right?
Yeah,
they can make wigs out of it. Yeah, Locks for Love.
I would like to do that.
You should do that.
John Worth might buy that and mat it into his own hair somehow. A weave.
Make a nice mullet, I think. That'd be a good look for me.
What are you saying?
A Kentucky waterfall.
No, I'm not saying he has a mullet, but I could make my own mullet out of it.
If you had it, it would definitely
be. So one question back at us. Just one.
Did I pass the audition?
Of course you did.
I will say that, I appreciate Roger. I read up and can have honest conversations. He's been the best guest thus far as in knowledge and bringing up good points. And there's been a lot of less penis jokes on this.
That's true.
There has been a lot
there's
of less
no
penis
taint
jokes.
References.
I appreciate
Are you intimidated?
That. I appreciate
no. that. By Roger's
by
taint?
By the elder here?
Mainly because my mother has started listening, assholes.
Oh, nice.
Your mom listens to this?
No.
That'll fall
That's
for anything.
Not what she told me this morning when she left my house.
You're so good on the podcast.
You know, you're really, you guys are nowhere near as objectionable as you sounded on the one episode that I listened to. You were sounding kind of crazy on that one.
I'm a little wasted a little on here subdued. Sometimes. I mean, I chose not to drink like 4 beers before I got here today.
Yeah. You wanted to be up on your toes, right?
Yeah. I worked outside all day. And this is
I've been painting rooms and installing ceiling fans.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Doing what the little lady tells you to.
Oh, yeah, and my rubber suit, it doesn't have as much
give. Do the kids ever wonder why you're wearing that?
They never question it, Scott. Never. So the one question, was that it?
No, I'll ask. This is for John Worth.
Okay.
So when this whole LouisvilleBeard.com thing started, John Campbell told me I'd get paid cash for that column. What the hell's up with that? Am I going to get paid or not?
Oh,
whoa!
You're paid cash?
Sounds like you're looking for some royalties on
straight
this.
Straight cash,
well.
Homie.
That's part of the trade. Is the
straight cash, ad. Homie.
And you wonder why certain people aren't with us anymore.
Roger. Roger 1, Worth 0.
What's your home address again?
123 Cyberbully Way.
Bloated Cyberbully Way.
Bloated Cyberbully Way. Is that it?
That was my question, yeah.
So I didn't know he told
He's
you.
He's got a good point.
Would get
hey,
paid
by the way,
this.
I haven't gotten any cash either. What?
Yeah. What did he tell you?
You're doing it all wrong, worth? Homie.
He really said that?
Why would I make it up?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a figure of integrity.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there's a banner ad up that has been since day one.
Yeah, I need to change that, too.
Yeah, please do. Mm-hmm. anytime you want.
I understand the nature of the relationship. I was just, you know, always under the impression that that would be augmented at some point when the profitability of the company got to the point, you know, that it certainly is now. I mean, I think you're probably awash in money at this stage.
Oh.
It sounds like this is an HR issue.
That John King was talking about the wheelbarrow of cash.
Yeah,
it's
where's
mine.
My money?
It's mine.
I'm on the, thanks for bringing that up because I haven't gotten any money. I just got a lot of free beer. Oh, that's okay.
I'm a volunteer over at LouisvilleBeer.com. Intern. I'm interning for John Worth right now.
No, you are not.
The miser, John Worth.
So just stay out of my backyard if you see a wheelbarrow with a blue tarp over it.
This is like 3 years worth of being an intern, though. I mean, at some point you're supposed to get promoted.
Yeah, and,
you don't even have any DNA on yourself.
I was going to say, you know, Roger's an intern, likes cigars. You know, we as long as you don't come in here wearing a blue dress, we're good.
On many levels.
Yes.
And I'm still going to miss Last of the Summer Wine tonight to come do this.
Miss what?
Last of the Summer Wine.
What is that?
It's a TV show.
It's a people partying over at your house right now while you're gone.
Is it like Murder, She Wrote? Or something? Is that this year's Murder, She Wrote?
Your culture. I have another question for you, John. Go
Since
for
I
it.
Pulled
so
that
what
one
do you
out.
Attribute this startling lack of cultural education? Anyway, this is a BBC show. It's on Sunday nights since time began. It ran for 37 years on BBC from 1973 to 2010.
All I know is absolutely.
I've watched
fabulous.
Every episode. I'm kidding. I've never heard of
You've
it.
You've got a DVR.
But tonight, Boardwalk Empire ends a pathetic season, and I'm kind of probably going to have to catch the 11 o'clock run on that.
I watched it on YouTube, so forget it. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, that wraps up episode 12.
Dig it.
Yeah. I'm your host, John Worth. Thank you, Roger, for coming on.
You know, I'm absolutely delighted.
Well, let's do it again, and maybe you could turn the tables.
You mean to come ask you questions?
Sure.
I'll do that.
Sure.
I have a bunch of them already.
I'll see you in three years, Roger.
Yeah. 2016, we'll have you back
on
the
air. Is this the first night of my Black Bowl now?
When you say Black Bowl, what do you mean? I don't wait. I'm just saying.
Thanks for listening. I'm John Worth. This is my co-host, John King.
I think you turned my microphone off.
I did.
And our off-color commentator. Commentator. Got like, we're out.